If you have your Bibles with you, and I trust that you do, I'd like for you to turn to Luke's chapter 17 and also put your finger or a marker or something like that in Psalm 107, because we're going to hit both of those. But after ask for prayer requests this morning, there's a portion of my message that you guys don't need. That's good. Now, it's confession time. There are things that, I don't know how you are, but there are things in life that just kind of tick me off, I guess is the best way to say it. Just to be honest about it. And one of them, they just keep shoving Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong, I like Christmas. But Christmas has its time, and they shoved it in front of Thanksgiving, which really burned me up. And they just keep shoving it up, and now you're seeing Christmas commercials before even Halloween's over with and done with. And pretty soon it's going to be before the 4th of July. In fact, I think they do have something Christmas in July now and different things. And we know it's not because they're worshiping the Savior, the arrival of the Savior, the birth of the Savior. It's because of money, 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 you know. And that just... So I got to thinking about thankfulness. And to me, Thanksgiving is one of the best and most important holidays other than Christmas and Easter. And so that's kind of what this message is about. We celebrate Thanksgiving every year, and you know, you can tell your pastor, I'm not trying to step on his Thanksgiving message, but they tripped my trigger. And you know, we celebrate it, but are we thankful? Are we really thankful? Do we have a thankful attitude as we go through life? All summer long, we wish for it to be cool. We wish for rain. Now we've got cool in the rain. But I'm sure there's somebody going, oh, I'm freezing to death. I'd like a little heat. Or can it just lay off raining for the weekend? Yeah, rain during the week, you know. We never, ever happy, are we? It doesn't seem like. And this January and February, you know, that's when we really have winter around here. We're going to be going, oh, it's so cold. I wish it was warmer. You know, I'm going to try to just, this year, I'm not going to complain. Just accept what God gives us and go on. I guess you could summarize this message in a sentence. Thankfulness is the attitude that replaces my sinful tendency to complain and releases joy and blessing into my life. When you're really thankful, it does release joy and blessing into your life. If you've ever thought thankfulness is not important to Christ, well, you're wrong. It's very important to Christ. If you're able, would you stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word as we read Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19. Make that 11 through 19. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that they went and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to the God, to God, except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Father, help us to remember to be thankful, truly thankful, not just in words, but from the heart, to really give you the honor and the glory and the thanks and the praise that you deserve, and that we are so needful of giving for all that you've given us, all that you shower down upon us. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together to read your word and to proclaim your word. And Lord, to just lift your name up on high and be thankful for all that you've given us. And it is in the precious holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thankfulness is nothing new. In verses 12 and 13, it says, then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when they cried out, and he looked at them, he looked and saw the condition. He knew the condition. Have you ever seen a leper? Now, we were missionaries in New Guinea, and they still had leprosy over there. And they actually had an island that was a leper colony. I know here, old people would die if we actually, you know, separated people like that. But they separated them because it's contagious. And you can tell their hands, or maybe their nose or ears. The extremities is what goes first, but it turns white. Just, and you notice it on those folks because they're dark, and you really notice it on them. It's a lack of blood flow and everything else, and the leprosy, it's kind of like it just rots them away, to be put it very plainly. And he saw what was going on with these men, and he did. They cried out for mercy, and he gave them mercy. How many of us here have experienced God's mercy in their life? Oh, yeah, many times. Many times we experience God's mercy and we don't probably even realize that it's God's mercy that we're experiencing. I know there's people that said, you experienced God's mercy a long time, or somebody would have killed you long ago. And that's probably true. But God gives us mercy. In verse 14, it says, So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. God's faithfulness. When he says something, he's faithful to perform it. He had mercy on them. He sent them to the priest because in those days, that's who needed to look at them and go, hey, yeah, they're healed. And they're cleansed. They were considered unclean. In fact, they were supposed to walk, if they were traveling, they were to walk through the streets or down the road, whatever you would call it, and cry out if someone came even remotely close to them, unclean, unclean, so people wouldn't come near and get the leprosy themselves. God is faithful. He is faithful. If he says do this, that's what's going to happen. He's not like we might be from time to time. When he says this is the way it's going to be, that's the way it is. Unless we go, well, I said I'd do this, but I forgot that and all this. And We hunt for a way out. Well, what happened? The thankful ones are unique. How many were really thankful that he had cleansed them of their healing? That's right, one. One out of ten. That's pathetic. But then, we don't want to look in the mirror, do we? Because how many times? But this one came back, and the unique part about the one that came back, who was it? It was a Samaritan. It was a foreigner. It was the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. I mean, look at what's taking place today. They still don't get along. Never have, and the way I understand my Bible, never will. The only ones that are going to get along is the ones that accept Christ as their Savior. Then they're like the rest of us. We're foreigners, really. Most of us, there may be a Jew or two out there. I don't know. But most of us are foreigners. We're the outcast. But when Christ gave his life on that cross, we were grafted in, those that have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. We were grafted in. We became part of that living tree that came as about of Christ. But I want you to look at the humility. He knew who he was, this Samaritan. He knew what his condition was. He knew. And he came back and he glorified God with a loud voice. He fell on his face. That tells us a lot about how thankful we should be. Have you ever really thought about all the things we should be thankful for? You know, you get to thinking about it and it's just one after another after another. Well, Christ also noticed those that were ungrateful. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So what does that tell you? Know what it tells me? That the other 9 were Israelites. They were Jews. They were Christ's own people, if you can say it like that, because they were of the same bloodline, the same birthright as he was. But they didn't come back. They weren't thankful. And I wonder sometimes if we haven't, as Christians, those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, the ones that really should be more thankful for all that we have in Christ, if we're not sometimes, because it's maybe been so long since I was saved when I was 10. That was a year or two ago. And we might just kind of forget, you know, all that we have in Christ, all that he has given us, all that we have to be thankful for. But Christ was very aware of the flagrant disregard for what he had did for the other 9. He was very aware of that. Only when we acknowledge God, Christ, as the provider of just general everyday things are we truly thankful. You know, just to kind of get you started thinking about those general things, life. Just life itself. I'm sure that some of you in here have had a major illness or organ in your body tried to fail on you or something like that. After that happens, you know, life becomes a little more real, doesn't it? I just found out about 3 months ago, maybe four now, that I've got cancer. But I can't get anything normal. My cancer is something that's, I've never heard of it. Everybody's heard of carcinoma. You know, that's a very common cancer. But I've got something called carcinoid. Never heard of it. And my oncologist said, yeah, it's listed as being very rare, but he said, I don't think it's that rare. He said, I think a lot of people have it, they just don't know they have it. You only find it by accident, and that's how they found mine, was by accident. The great part, and you know, I bless God and I praise God for it. It's very slow growing. Very, very. He said, I've probably had it over 20 years. But you only find it by accident. That's why he says he thinks a lot more people have it. They just haven't found it yet. You don't find it through blood tests. You don't find it through urine tests. You don't find it through like a colonoscopy or anything like that. By accident, they find it. And I don't feel any different. He says that's probably why I have no feeling in my hands and feet. But who knows? But when you stop and think, I've got this thing growing in me. In my case, with this carcinoid cancer, it's lots of little places. And my immune system was stout enough, it's already killed a bunch of them. But there's still a bunch of them that's alive in there. You know, you've got this stuff. It's kind of like thinking, you know, I'm wormy. I got parasites or something in there. I know a lot of people have said I'm wormy, but that's beside the point. But life becomes, yeah, you got it, didn't you? Life becomes a little more real. And you don't know. We are not guaranteed to walk out of here. God is merciful, He's gracious, He gives us every breath we breathe. Every time our heart beats, it's a gift from God. Water. We can live a long time without food. Some of us might live a little longer without food than others. But how long are you going to live without water? Not very long. How long are you going to live without oxygen, air? Not very long. In fact, very short period of time. God gives us so much. He gives us this fantastic world that we live on that supplies everything. And because of all of the stuff that I cannot wrap my head around, I know it's there, gravity, you know, keeps us from flying off out into space. Now, how does that all work? I know the scientists say, well, it's this way and that way. But who made it? God made it. He's the one that keeps, and He keeps us from flying on, smashing in together with other planets and stars and meteors and all that. He is the one that keeps everything running smoothly. And, you know, you hear all this stuff. Oh, we had a near miss by so many million miles. This gigantic asteroid went flying by us. God knew. He knew where that asteroid was. He knew where we were going to be. It didn't hit us. It's not a big surprise. It's not an accident that it missed us. God has it all planned out. Paul made this point on a universal scale. It was what I would call it in Romans chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, Well, I've got it written down here if I can get the page turned right. The invisible attributes are clearly seen. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have no excuse. You know, those tribal people, they had never seen the Bible, they had never heard of Christ, you know, but they knew there was something, someone, something that controlled everything. They knew that. They understood it. They could see His power, His attributes. They knew that He was over, somebody was over, or something was over. They didn't understand all of it. They didn't know the Bible. They had never heard of God. They had never heard of Christ. But they knew somebody was in control. Now, they worshiped everything. They thought everything had a spirit, and that was what controlled everything. All, you know, trees, every tree had a spirit. The river, the water had spirits. Rocks had spirits. You name it, it had a spirit. And you better not make them mad, because they's going to get you. That's the way they looked at it. Animism. But so, when we introduced them to God and began in Genesis and carried and taught them all through the major stories of the Old Testament, it didn't surprise them. They were like, we knew this. I love to watch them pray. They weren't like us. They had never been taught well. When you pray, you got to bow your head. You got to close your eyes. They just knew that prayer was talking to God. And they would stand there and they'd look up and they'd say, I thank you, God, for taking care of me and protecting me up in my garden when that tree was starting to fall this way where I wanted it to go, and then the vines and the wind pulled it back and it narrowly missed me. But God, you're the one that kept that tree from hitting me. You know, that's the way they talk to God. And I thought, you know, that's refreshing. They're having a conversation with their Creator, with the one that controls everything in life. And they understood the sacrifice, I believe, better than we do. Because in their old system of worship, they sacrificed chickens and things to keep all these spirits happy. Now they found out, oh, we don't have to do that. There was a major sacrifice made. God sacrificed His Son to pay for our sins, to pay our sin debt. And so they understood that a lot clearer, I think, than we do often. Here's what I believe, that only the most resolutely unbelieving, hard-hearted person in the world could ever stand and look at the universe, look at all that we see. And I think even farmers and people that work in nature all the time have a lot less excuse than somebody that grew up in the city, because we see firsthand, we have our hands in it, we see it, we touch it, we feel it, we may get kicked by it or run over by it, but we see it. Only somebody that is totally hard-hearted could say, there is no God. You'd have to be absolutely blind and crazy not to believe in God if you spend any time in the outdoors. I wasn't saved in a church. I was saved on a hillside hunting squirrels when I was 10 years old. Because, yeah, we had a squirrel dog, but I found out that, you know, if you go out there, sit down early in the morning and you're quiet, pretty soon the squirrels come out and you can get a few. And then you got to move. But I was sitting there that morning. I'd been to church as long as I can remember. I've been to school. We were taught, you know, Darwinism at school, and then we was taught about creation at church, and I didn't know which one was right. I sat by that tree, and there's a little creek down below. I'm looking at the tadpoles, the minnows, birds, the bugs, squirrels, the tree I was leaning by, and the grass growing out there. And it finally got through a few inches of bone. You know, anybody that believes in Darwinism and all this stuff is crazy. There is no way that that tadpole and this tree and that grass and that burn, all that bird flying around out there, all came from the same one-celled amoeba that climbed out of the primordial soup. That is the craziest thing. It would take a crazy person to believe that. And that right then I knew that God's word was right. I knew what was right. And right there's when I accepted Christ. I had all the information. I just needed that last little trigger to kick it off. I knew what was right. And I was thankful. I am thankful. Thankfulness is far more than saying the right words. The kind of life-changing heart attitude that God desires, I believe, is much deeper than a surface verbal agreement or gratitude. I think we need to look and be truly thankful. Let's look at the power of thankfulness. So if you found Psalm 107, let's look over and check that out. Psalm 107, and I just want to look at verse 1 to begin with here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. We've already talked about His mercy and how He showered mercy down upon the lepers. And we know, looking at our lives, His mercy endures forever. And then if you jump down to verse 8, it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And that is repeated in verses 15, 21, and 31. Thankfulness is a choice we make. Accepting Christ as our Savior is a choice that we make. Where we go for eternity is a choice that we make. Now, and I'm not faulting them, because it is eternal life. But all of us, no matter if you're lost or saved, you're going to live for eternity. That's just a fact. Everyone is going to live for eternity. The important thing is where you're going to live for eternity. You're either going to live in heaven or in hell. You're going to live in the most beautiful, most comfortable, most awesome place you could ever dream of, or even beyond what you could dream. Or you're going to live in the worst, most painful, most darkest, most separated, awful place you could ever imagine, or worse. And it's your choice. It's a choice too. It's a choice each one of us make. We either make a choice to go to heaven, or we, by not doing anything, by not accepting Christ, we make a choice to go to hell. That's just kind of a sidetrack there, but it's relevant. Thankfulness is a choice we make. It's a decision based on verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Wow. Should we give thanks to God? Yeah. Yeah, we should. And money hasn't got a thing in the world to do with it. You know what? God's got all the money He needs. And I've heard it said, you know, when a church is in a building program, God's got all the money He needs to build a brand new church. The hard part for you all is it's in your pocket. And that's what usually is. Everybody's like, oh, that's painful to hear. Thankfulness is a life-changing decision. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His wonderful works. It's a life-changing thing. If we wake up every morning and give thanks, I don't care if you wake up and you hurt all over. You could not feel anything. Or you could be feeling something far worse than the pain you're feeling right now, depending on where you land. Because your spirit immediately leaves your body and it goes one place or another. The choice is yours. James McDonald said, "Gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living." Let me repeat that and I'll try to get it right. Gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude for living. So are you living high or are you living low? It's all based on your gratitude or your thankfulness. Sadly, it's a kind of low altitude life that too many people live. Down, dirty, ungrateful, unthankful, complaining. Oh, we would never complain. Oh, would you ever complain? I do, occasionally, you know. Negative. Have you ever been around a person that's just negative? It doesn't matter what is taking place. They can always find something negative to say about it, and they got to complain. It's depressing to be around them people. It's like, oh, come on. Can't you ever be happy for anything? It's that sort of living. Now, all of us have probably spent a few days there in one of those, oh, woe is me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. You know, one of those kind of days. But here's the key. Okay, you may wake up and find yourself or in the middle of the day go, man, I've just been complaining all day. You don't have to stay there. Be thankful. Give thanks to the Lord. There is another kind of living. It's a high altitude kind of living. It's up in the air where it's clean, the sun's shining, the birds are singing, the future's bright. Because of the promises of God. I don't care what disease you may have or what may be going wrong in your life. We have a bright future. The brightest. As Christians, as God's people, we have the brightest future you could ever think of. Now, if you're not a child of the King, well, maybe you need to make a change in life. And that's the solution we need to be looking for. How do you change? You need to look inside. You need to check out what's inside of your life. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at me. You'll find all kind of dirty, dark stuff in our lives. Look at yourself. Look at what's going on inside and make a change. And there's only one way you can make that change. That's to get your relationship with Jesus Christ straight. To get it right. To begin to walk with the Lord each and every day. I don't care if you wake up and you got a toothache. Nobody likes toothaches. But give the Lord thanks that you can feel that tooth. And then give the Lord thanks that we live in a time where there's a dentist that we can go see. Have you ever thought about some of, we won't even go back to the caveman, but some of these pioneers that settled this area further west, when they had a toothache, There wasn't probably a dentist around. Maybe you had a good friend with a right hook that'd take it out. You know, get in there with a pair of pliers or wood stick, pop it out. Or, as some of them probably did, they drank a little bit of Who Hit John to see if they couldn't kill it. Ask yourself some of these questions. Am I a thankful person? And if you're thinking, well, I don't know if I'm thankful or not, ask yourself, do you have anything to be thankful for? I can tell you the answer for that. To that, you do. Am I seeing thankfulness in my life? Am I choosing thankfulness over complaining, griping, being mad, upset with someone? Am I choosing a high altitude life or a low altitude life? And finally, am I seeing the blessings of thankfulness in my life? You know, if you choose thankfulness, you're going to see blessings in your life. It may take a little while, but you're going to see and experience blessings in your life. And certainly, if you focus on Jesus Christ, you're going to see the blessings. And you're going to experience the thankfulness. You're going to experience eternity in heaven, not in hell, in heaven with Jesus Christ, if you choose Him. And I'll close with this. Can you commit to dedicating just a few minutes? And I know some of you guys, pencils don't fit your fingers very good. But maybe try at least 5 times a week to write down something you're thankful for at that moment. Just 5 times a week, have a little notebook and write down something you're thankful for. Yeah, I've got a rotten grandson, but I'm thankful for him. He's a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to the day that he's old enough to understand that Christ died for him. I'm thankful that all the rest of my grandkids know Christ as their Savior. When I baptized one of my grandsons, I told him, I said, "Now, Aiken, I'm going to hold you under just a little bit longer because you need it." And afterwards, he said, "Papa, you held me under long." But can we be thankful for things like that? Absolutely. But most of all, be thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and the fact that we can accept Him anytime, anywhere. But for somebody here today that hasn't, now would be a really good time to get that straight in your life.